Take your Bibles, if you would, please, today, and open up to Hebrews chapter number 2 in the Word of God. Hebrews chapter number 2 in the Word of God today. And for those of you who are visiting, we've been in a series coming through November and December looking at the heroes of the faith. And that series is going to continue and start right back up here. We finished the life story of Moses, so we're going to jump into several different characters. But as we came into this new year, we've really been looking at several principles that I've been praying about that I believe is going to help us as we face this new 2022. And so we're going to be here a little bit more topical over the next several weeks. And we are looking at preparing for 2022 and really running this race that you and I are running, emptying ourselves of some things that we don't need to carry into this new year, leaving back behind some of the things that many times as Christians we love to hang on to and we love to put in our backpack of life, but we don't need them. Then we begin to look at the best year ever and some things that you and I need in our lives to help us to grow. We've got to get rid of some things, but then in this race that you and I are running, there's some things that's going to help you and I grow as individuals, as husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, grandparents, college students, some things that you and I are going to need from our Abba Father to help you and I to be able to run this race and to walk this life this next year. And last week, we begin to look at the subject of hold fast, the subject of hold fast. And I want us to look at Hebrews chapter number 2. So as you find your place here, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? And if your health allows you to, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Let's look at Hebrews chapter number 2. I'm going to begin looking at verse number 1. Verse number 1, the Bible says this: "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard." Now pause right here just for a moment. Remember from last week's message, this is understand, give the more earnest heed. For us, it's paying attention. It's, hey, look, listen up, look right here. If you ever tried to get the attention of your kids before, your grandkids, or for our teachers who are in here, and you got to pause, you almost got to, hey, woo, listen, tune up, tune in here for just a moment. I want you to look at the whites of my eyes. You're trying to call them in. Give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard. That means this. We didn't gather here in church today, and we come in, and we hear a preacher preach, and boom, that's it, good, great. Let's head out of here, and let's go out to eat, and we did our religious duty. We checked off our list. We came to church, and for some, maybe it's once a month, maybe it's once a week, or maybe you're still three to thrive. And so we did it, we're good, we're great, now let's move on. Now hold on, now wait a minute. We got to give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard. That means this: we didn't come in here today just to hear from Pastor Shepherd or from one of our Sunday school teachers, and boom, that's it, great, good, let's move on, we're good. No, no, no. We've got to give the more earnest heed. We're going to hear, we're going to listen, we're going to grow in Christ. We're going to take the things that we are hearing, and we're going to apply them to our hearts and to our lives. Now, if that makes sense today, would you say amen? Now, here's what we do as Christians. Now, you ready? Here's what we like to do. We love to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard so we can apply them to somebody else's life. Now, don't look at me like, oh, how dare you. No, we're good at that. We're good at looking around the room at who's not here today and who ought to be here. We're good at looking around the room today like, oh, good, I am so glad they're here because I looked at their Facebook this last week and they definitely need this message. I know what they said. I know what they've been involved in. They're not perfect. Oh God, I am so glad I am not as them and they are here today. No, we're really good at playing sheriff in everybody else's life and applying it to their life. But let's for a moment, let's stop Pharisee and let's apply it to our life. Let's tune in to the Holy Spirit in our own lives. Let's make applicable the things that are preached and taught from the Word of God to our own personal lives today. Take heed, look what it says, the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard, lest at any time we should let them, look at the wording here, slip. I used the illustration last week, like when you lose weight and it's like a ring from your finger. It's accidental. It's gone. It's whoops and it's gone. Or like perhaps a boat that is not tied to the dock correctly and it very slowly begins to slip and the current begins to take it. You got to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, the preaching, the word of God, the Holy Spirit, lest at any time those things begin to slip. They begin to get away. There has to be a holding fast to the things of the word of God. Why? Because if you and I are not careful in 2022, they're gone. It's down the road. We have not held fast to those things. And so this morning as we approach this passage of scripture, I want to preach a message once again on holding fast. Hold fast. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. God, I mean that with all my heart. If we did not have a perfect, inspired, inerrant, preserved word of God, where would we be? We'd be tossed to and fro. Lord, we'd argue over everything. My way versus their way versus my way. But no, Father, we have a final authority in our life today that we can come and hold to. I ask, Savior, that we'd exalt the word of God today. That we'd rightly divide, that Father, truly there'd be things in our life that we would hold to as families, as individuals, as college students, as high school students, as young kids, as husbands and wives, and as single parents and adults, and those who are in the fourth quarter of their life, the retirees. God, no matter what life stage we're in, I ask, Savior, that we'd take this subject matter serious today, and we'd hold fast. Father, I ask, Lord, that through this message, we'd make it applicable to our lives, that we would tune in and listen and give the more earnest heed. Father, take away the distractions that Satan's going to try to use to distract us from hearing your word. Lord, help us to put off the concerns of yesterday and the worries of tomorrow. Father, I ask, Lord, that we would truly put away the fear and the concern and those things that are bothering us right now. And for the next couple of moments, we just tune into you. Father, there is no doubt we need you today. Work in our midst. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We begin to see last week that we live in an ever-changing world. We said that we're not speaking of this world or this society that you are live and I are living in that is changing, whether it be culture, that we know culture changes, or whether it be styles, we know that styles change, or technology is always and ever changing, or standards, or society, all these things, laws even, that they change. But we're talking about for a moment that we're living in an ever-changing world. You and I are living in a world that, especially as a nation, we are not holding fast to some of the things that have been set down for us. You and I are living in this world where everything is being questioned. And sometimes that's okay. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes there ought to be questions that we ought to raise. But there are things that should not be questioned. And the things that ought not to be questioned is not something that is in a man's life, and it's not something that religion would give us, and it's not something that whether it be an evangelist or whether it be a religious leader, no, we're not talking about those things. The things that ought not to be questioned are the very things that are laid out for us in the very Word of God. And yet the things that we are seeing questioned today, whether it be the love or the peace or the grace or the mercy of God, or whether it be the virgin birth, or whether it be after 3 days, Jesus raising from the dead. Look, the world and even some Christians nowadays are beginning to question the things that have already been settled in the very Word of God. If that makes sense, would you say amen? I want you to tune in for just a moment. You and I don't care what National Geographic Channel says or what History Channel says or CNN or Fox News or MSNBC or CBS or ABC. I don't care what the public schools are teaching. Friend, there are things in the Word of God that have been settled. It's been written by God Almighty, who has always existed, exists today, and will always exist. And those attributes and those laws and those things that have been set for us in the Word of God, the canon of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, friend, I don't care how many doctoral degrees we have. I don't care how smart we are. Friend, we ought to never question the very Word of God. It's settled. is for us. And yet in the day and age we live, we've almost come to this Old Testament question once again, where, or this phrase where everybody did right, or that which was right in their own eyes. Friend, if we get back to a place in our society, in our culture, in Hendricks or Marion County, in the Indianapolis surrounding area, where every man did that which was right in his own eyes, I'm just here to tell you, friend, that is a very scary place to live in. Why? Because you and I have the final authority. The word of God has been laid out. And when you and I do what is right by the basis of the word of God, it is the greatest life that can be lived on this earth. And yet we're seeing today is many of it being questioned. Many of it today being called into, well, is this, well, did the writer say, well, is this accurate? Well, no, hold on, friend. You and I ought to believe what thus saith the Lord. We saw last week we ought to hold fast, number one, to the Savior. Number one, to the Savior. Because if there was ever something that you and I could hold on to, it would be this. It would be our God. Everything, listen to this, everything changes. You do realize that. I talked about last week, bell-bottoms were out. Now I guess bell-bottoms, the style's coming back in. And there's music styles that change and go back and forth. And culture changes. And even here in America, we have politics change. We have a majority of Republicans. We have a majority of Democrats. And we have this balance of power that goes back and forth. And there's a lot of things that change. Can I say this? When it comes to the coronavirus, over the last 2 years, 2.5 years, we have seen major changes. The CDC is always changing its rules and guidelines, and it's back and forth, and this is better for Americans, and this is better for Americans. And I'm not saying to call anybody out. I'm just saying there's a lot of things that change and go back and forth. But there is one constant that you and I can guarantee will never change, and that is our Savior. The Bible says in Malachi, "For I am God, I change not." And I'm here to tell you, friend, as a Bible-believing Christian, I am thankful that I can stand upon somebody and have a Savior living inside of my life that does not change. Are you thankful for that? Say amen. What a God you and I serve. Isn't it amazing? I mean, everybody changes. Isn't it funny how we change our minds? Oh, you don't change your mind, please. Everybody changes their mind. We don't like this food, now we like this food. We don't like this, then we like this. Well, I'm not sure. And then we go back and forth. And everybody changes. But I'm so thankful that the love that my Savior bestows upon me, it does not change. And we've got to hold fast, friend, to our Savior. But I want us to look at secondly today is we've got to hold on to, you ready for this? Balance. Balance. Hold fast to balance. I want you to think for a moment about balance in your life. Balance is something that all of us have. It's part of our lives. There's lots of things around us that hinges on the very nature of balance. It was not too long ago, we had these little kids' chairs and they're actually stools, and we have this stool, and they're actually kind of for little kids, but it's around this little art table that the girls, my four daughters, have in the room, and I came in there, and they were playing, and I sat down on one of those little kids' stools, and I sat down on it, and I was on my phone, and I'm sitting there texting, and I started watching this video. One of my twin girls, Nora, came over, and she sat on my lap, so I kind of got her up there, and I put her on my lap, and she's watching this video with me, and all of a sudden her twin comes over, Rose, and Rose steps up, and Rose gets on my lap. So I put Rose up there, and you know how it is. Good grief. Kids see devices nowadays. You can have YouTube playing in the gym, and they're going to hear YouTube and come running. And so here comes Rose, and she gets up on my lap, and I'm holding them. And then all of a sudden, here comes, what's my daughter's name? London. And London comes over, and London's kind of squeezing in. I'm like, hey, guys, come on. I can't see. A little claustrophobic here, you know, parents, you're with me on that. And then she's on, and then here comes Lois. Man, I'm having such trouble today. Lois, I promise I know my kids, okay? And Lois comes over, and she's hanging on my back, and we're all watching this. And before you know it, I'm on this stool, and without even knowing it, man, it's starting to lean. And finally, all of us, just like bowling pins, we all just fall down to the ground, and we all start laughing, and one of them starts crying, little baby, and I was like, get up, girl. You're fine. You're a shepherd. And also, we start falling. We all fell over. Well, what happened? We became imbalanced. The little stool couldn't hold it anymore. The sad thing is we didn't realize it. We were in our own lives. We're in our own little world. Whatever that YouTube video had captured our attention. And before you know it, all of a sudden, like, I mean, we're all going over this. No, there was no catching it. There was not, I didn't even have arms to catch ourselves. We are just all falling. You see, getting out of balance in life often is very subtle. But God wants you and I to live balanced lives. The entire world is based upon this principle of balance. The world of nature is perfectly balanced. For our science teachers in here today, Brother McCroney can come up and can begin to tell us the nature of having birds and having all kinds of flowers and having insects that go to those flowers and pollination and the trees and plants and all of this world that God, excuse me, not evolution, but God has designed in the world that you live in is all perfectly balanced. The earth is tilted at a certain angle and rotates at a certain miles per hour without any vibration. And we're told that if we were so much closer to the sun, then our earth would burn up. And if we were so many feet or yards away, perhaps even inches, as some say, away from the sun, then our world, our earth would freeze. It's just this perfect balance that all the way around, if I had time this morning, I could lay out that nature and our earth has. Our bodies are perfectly balanced. You and I have been told, and Brother Denny is here somewhere, we were talking about drinking water and how we're told we're supposed to drink so much water. Now they're coming back and saying you can actually drink too much water. It can be a detriment to your body. And I don't know about you, but sickness has been going around. It goes around every year, cold and flu season. It is here, friend. And I feel like everybody's been getting colds. Everybody's been getting flu. And so, you know what I'm doing? I'm taking vitamins. Well, I got a little bit imbalanced this past week with my vitamins because it calls for so much D3, so much zinc, so much vitamin C. I'm a big man. I can handle it. I'm going to triple it because I am not going down with everybody else. And so I triple it. And then guess what happens? Woo! Something gets a little bit imbalanced. You know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, we start going the other way. I gotta back off a little bit too much D3 there, a little bit too much vitamin C. So we started, why? Our bodies are this perfect balance. And when it's imbalanced, then our lives, our health is not where it should be. And so we try to get it back by whether drinking or taking vitamins or medication. And then once again, our bodies will come back into balance. All through life and everything, we try to juggle it. All will focus towards equilibrium. It's the very principle, even spiritually speaking, of balance. Oftentimes in my years of ministry, probably one of the most common problems that we will encounter as Christians in counseling someone else is the problem of imbalance. See, oftentimes what we do as Christians, especially any Christians who have been growing up over the last 30, 40 years, there's almost been this imbalance of working on our public life and leaving our private life to go. There's been this imbalance of look at me and look at the life I live and look at the marriage I have and look at the tie I wear and look at the money I give and look at the relationships I have and look at what I've built and look at the ministry I've had and boy, look at how many bus kids I bring in and look at the Sunday school I've built and look at the piano I play and look what I conduct and we've almost at times been off balance in concentrating on lifting ourselves up in the eyes of others. Are these things wrong? Absolutely not. Should we be involved in ministry? Yes. Should we work on relationships? Absolutely. Should we try to be a good wife or good husband? Or should we try to grow certain aspects or ministries of the church? Excuse me, friend, without a doubt. But oftentimes in counseling, whether it be marriage counseling or whether it be a sin problem, what we've come to is to realize is that there is almost this facade. There is this look at me and look what I've done and boy, look how good our marriage is. Friend, let me put it this way. All of us can fool each other. Every one of us can walk in here and have a big Bible in our hand, and all of us can be dressed up, and all of us can hold a wife's hand or a husband's hand, and all of us can put our arm around our husband or wife, and all of us can act like our kids. Just, boy, they're just the greatest Christians that have ever existed. But let me tell you this, friend. You and I can fool each other, but we cannot fool God. We cannot fool Him. He knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows our lives. He knows what you and I are going through. He knows the struggles that we are in. And oftentimes what we have seen is this aspect of imbalance, and we're working on the facade. We're working on the outside. We're working on just as the Pharisees did in Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and chapter number 9, and also in the book of Luke. And that's why we see so many times Jesus coming down on the Pharisee and the Pharisee and the Pharisee. And the Pharisee, why? Because they're saying, hey, look at me. Look at my phylacteries on the head. Look at my robes of purple. Look at the scripture that I have memorized. Look at my family tree. Oh, God, I am so thankful that I am not as this wee little sinner here. I'm thankful that, oh, God, look at me. And look at the relationship I have. And let me tell you something, friend. Before we jump all over those Pharisees, you and I struggle with the same things today. It has become a facade. It has become a show. It has become this imbalance of looking at the bridge but not concentrating on what's under the water, or concentrating on the foundation, concentrating on the heart. And that's why we see all through the book of Matthew Christ crying out, ye hypocrite, ye viper, you think you're this, and you're stepping up and you're exalting yourself, yet on the inside you're as dead man's bones. You're nothing. Families of Cross Point Baptist Church, I want you to tune in for just a moment. We're not interested in just religion or playing church. You want to play church? There's a lot of churches in this area. Every street. I drive to my house. I don't know, Pastor Foe, it's got to be 5 churches on the way. There's churches everywhere. But not every church that has a sign out in the front yard is actually meeting with God. I'm not interested in playing church. I'm not interested in politics. That's why so often I try to, as your pastor, really try to abstain from bringing health in and talking about anything COVID. And I try not to bring a lot of politics in and talking about Democrats and Republicans. And it's why, as your pastor, look, I cheer for a football team. That's a pretty good football team. But I don't try to bring that in. You know why? Because we're not interested in football and politics and COVID. You know what we ought to be interested in is what does thus saith the Lord, and how can we grow as Christians, and how can we grow as adults, and how can we grow as college students, and how can we work on the heart? I'm not interested in raising little kids that walk in and their hair slicked to the side, and boy, they got it all together, and yes ma'am, no ma'am, their shoes are shine, and boy, they look and play the part, but on the inside they despise church, they despise their dad, they despise preaching, they despise Jesus. Boy, on the outside they got it all together, but on the inside they're dead. Let me tell you something, teenager, I see Braden and Colton and so many others that are in this room today. Let me say to Tommy, David, and DJ, listen, young people, we're not interested in handing down to you something that's dead. No, Maddie, we want to give you something that's alive and real and true and honest. And you know who that is? That is Jesus Christ. He's alive. He's real. He lives. He gives real joy. He gives real peace. I don't want to walk in here, boy, pastor's got a little pep in his step and energy. Let me tell you something, friend. I just don't want to say, well, yeah, I guess it's just the coffee, because really on the inside, I am miserable. No, I know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He knows my name. I'm going to live with Him for all of eternity. I got a place in heaven. He's preparing my mansion. One day I'm going to see Him face to face. Let me tell you something, friend. That's more joy and happiness and peace than any double espresso could give me. That's pep in my step. That's energy. That's real. Why? I'm not interested in a facade. I'm not interested in imbalance. I'm not interested in just playing church. I'm not interested in bringing people in. Wow, we're really growing. Isn't that great? No, we ought to thank God that we're growing. Why? Because we're reaching this area for what really matters. And what is that? It is the very gospel of Jesus Christ. It's Him. You got to hold fast. You say, Pastor, what's the big deal? I tell you what's the big deal. We have to hold fast to balance. Because what will happen in a church is we can get an imbalance. Now, hold on. I've got time to set this up, so you just watch. We do have churches at time that their balance is based on, is based on this. It's based on the Word of God. And so they're balanced. This leads, this guides, this directs. But what we can have at times is churches that will begin to add to this. So all of a sudden, the imbalance comes in and we don't even know it. Add a little rule here. Add a little standard here. Add a little preference here. And all of a sudden, we become religiously heavy. And we can't reach our area because here's what's taking place. We've added to, as the Pharisees did, what God has already established in His Word. And the outside world looks at it and says, I can't do that. I can't be those people. And then we look at them and say, well, to be honest with you, life you're living, you're probably right. You can't. Excuse me, friend. God said He died for everyone. Did He not? Yes or no? His blood was shed for everyone. And it's free. It doesn't matter where they've been or their family tree. It doesn't matter what sins they committed. His blood covers it all. How many are thankful for that? Amen? They absolutely can. But all of a sudden now we've come to this point. We've added. We didn't even know it. We just kept putting more kids on the stool, more kids on the stool, more kids on the stool. And then eventually, I've watched it. Pastor Defoe, Pastor Fitzgerald, back me up on this. I've watched it. What happens is they've added so much to, and some of it's good, and some of it looks really righteous and really holy. And then there's some good standards that all of a sudden they go from this big thriving church to 200, 100, 40, 50, 60. 30. They just begin to die off. But bless God, we're going to hold to. And boy, I'm glad we're not as all these others. And their eyes are on so many other churches and so many other things that here's what's happened. Uh-oh, the imbalance came in. We're also seeing in our day where there are those churches that, man, they're right on. They're in the Word and they're focused and they're balanced. And then all of a sudden they get a hold of this weird theory that's out of grace. And we could do and think however we want. I could be involved in any sin and God doesn't care. I could get divorced several times. I could be involved in homosexuality. I could choose my gender. I could be drunk on the weekends. I could be involved in any sin. I could live my life. And why? Because, well, I'm free and I'm saved. And all God's grace just covers me. And all of a sudden, what we have then from a group of people who were focused and had a final authority to then this imbalance begin to sneak in and sneak in and sneak in and sneak in until finally it's not even recognizable anymore. What's going on? What happened? I often ask the question, what happened to the family that was serving God? What happened to the family I had teenagers going to camp? What happened to the family that was up in the choir? What happened to the family that was on fire for God? I'll tell you what happened. Suddenly, things began to slip. All of a sudden, that imbalance came in. That vitamin that they kept swallowing and kept swallowing, they didn't realize was hurting them in a wrong way. They begin to add to and begin to add to and begin to add to. And here's what the Word of God says. Now listen to this. Watch now. A false balance is an abomination to God. Abomination, now for those of you who are busy, means this. It's disgusting. You know what that means? It literally makes God sick.
for those that are on this side, oh, yeah, boy, I'm telling you, God's really sick at them. Boy, look at them dancing around in their sin. And all of a sudden, the legalist over here said, boy, I'm telling you, we're glad as we're not as them. And boy, let's keep heaping on. Let's keep piling on. And then there are those over here that are also the legalist saying, boy, I'm glad I'm not as those legalists. Look at all the standards they have. And look at all the stuff they've added to the Word of God. And boy, you can't even join their church unless you do this, and all of a sudden, both sides are pointing at each other. Meanwhile, we've missed who stretched out his hands in the middle and holds it all in balance. We miss looking at the eyes of our Savior, and we miss what God has for you and I. Oftentimes on the outside, friend, it looks good. Boy, it looks pretty. Boy, it looks great. It looks like everything's fine. But let me tell you something, friend. You can fool every person in here with your marriage. You can fool every person in here with your walk with God. You can fool every person in here with how great and how wonderful and how spiritual you and I are. But let me tell you, friend, once again, we cannot fool God. We cannot fool the Holy Spirit. We will not get one over on the very Word of God. If this makes sense today, would you say amen? Balance. It's balance. So what needs to be balanced in our life this year? Now, I don't want you to panic because we're just going to look at this subject of balance. But here's what I want us to concentrate on for 5 minutes and watch. This will help every one of us. Spiritually, you and I have to be in balance. Dads, spiritually, we have to be in balance. Single moms in here, spiritually, we have to be in balance. Grandparents, spiritually, we have to be in balance. The Bible says this in 2 Peter chapter 3. It says this. You ready for this? Watch. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, you and I do two things to grow as a Christian. We grow in grace and we grow in knowledge. You see, you and I have an intellectual growth. That means this, you and I grow in the Bible. We grow in the very content of the Bible. You see, many people grow in knowledge. They know about God. They grow in the knowledge of the books of the Bible. They have memorized verses and they know facts. But oftentimes there is this imbalance of growth that comes in our spiritual lives. That we may grow in knowledge, but they've never grown in the grace. They've never grown in Christ. You see, watch now. We've entered into 2022, and I just want to help us for a moment. Growing in 2022 is not taking a, well, I want to read through the Bible at least once this year, and I want to do this. Okay, those are great, and it's good, and I want goals in my life. But it's more than just growing in those goals. All of us can say, I want to be in church 52 weeks this year. Congratulations, that's great and that's wonderful. All of us can say, I want to read through the Bible 3 times this year. That's good and that's great. We've read through the Bible 3 times. But if we're only growing our intellect, if we're only growing in what we know, then friend, what really good is it? Can I tell you this? There's a lot of people who will end up one day in hell for all of eternity, and they have memorized the passages of the Word of God. They have an intellect and a knowledge of God. They know out there somewhere is truth. There's many of folks who one day are going to say, Lord, Lord, did we not do many wonderful things in thy name? Lord, did we not attend church? Did we not give offerings? He said, look, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You listen to this. I never knew you. I don't want to come in, Brother Mancroni, and sing 6 hymns as we did today just to sing them. I want to know who I'm singing about. I want to exalt him. I don't want to come in, okay, Hebrews 2:1, therefore, don't let these things slip. Good, great. Okay, got it. Let's get out of here. It's 11:49. We're done. No. There has to be a balance. There has to be, yes, growing in that knowledge, but there's also growing in grace. Growing in grace is cultivating an intimate relationship. Now, it's the wording here, and... enjoying God. Enjoying God. The Bible says, "Thou wilt therefore show me the path of life." Now listen to what the psalmist said. "In thy presence is fullness of joy." Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." All of us find joy in doing something. Now don't panic on me, but I'm going to wake us up for a minute here. So I'm going to walk around the auditorium. Those of you that overflow, I'll get to you in just a second. So don't try to sneak to the bathroom at this time. I will find you. I'm going to walk around the room. I'm just going to ask, what do you find a hobby or something to do? What do you find enjoyment in, Brother Tom? Baking, okay? Brother Roberto? Music, good. Gloria? I'm saint? Oh, same as Roberto. I was like, saint. This message for you, girl. No, it's the same. Same. Good. Same. Okay. Music. Very good. Very good. Miss Jen. Piano. Good. Okay. Anybody else besides music here? All right. Let's get right here. Miss Wilma. Genealogy. Good. Awesome. Brother Mel. Hobbies. What kind of hobbies? Woodworking. Good. Coach. Sports. Shanna. Disney. How many amen right there? We love Disney. Now let's stop right here. It's so funny because I actually wrote down Disney. So thank you, Shannon. We find joy in Disney. Disney movies, great, fun, wonderful, kids, princesses. I have four daughters, so you can imagine. Look, they're in this life stage right now. Tinkerbell is real, okay? You judge me later, but we're in this stage where, wow, it's Peter Pan and, oh, Belle and the Beast. And, okay, so understand this, that there are things that we really enjoy about Disney. Now, we're planning on and, Lord willing, here, going to take our kids to Disney World. Our kids have never been to Disney World. They've been to Disneyland in California, but never Disney World. So we're going to take them to Disney World. And I will say this, for those of you, how many have ever been to Disney World or land? I don't care if it's been the last 50 years you've been there. Would you raise your hand just for a second? Raise your hand. Wow, look at all the hands. How about in the overflow? Man, a lot of hands. Good night. I mean, but most of us have been there. There are things about Disney World that we love. We enjoy. We enjoy the rides. We enjoy the excitement of kids' faces. We enjoy the shows that are there. There's enjoyment. There's life. It's great. It's wow, this high. What do we not enjoy? Orlando's weather. There's showers. It's hot. 90% humidity. 88 degrees. And it feels like, well, it's just hot, okay? We don't enjoy parents. We don't enjoy the credit card bill the next month. We don't enjoy paying $18 for a Coke. We don't enjoy having to pay to get to the front of the line, fast pass or whatever it's called. And we don't enjoy waiting in lines. We don't enjoy kids crying. You know how much I just paid for this ride? You straighten up. You will enjoy this. Okay, we don't enjoy those moments. But there's moments that we enjoy. It's fun. As Christians, I think at times we've lost really enjoying God. We lost our balance. We treat devotions like a checklist. We don't enjoy it. We treat church like hurry up, get in, get out. We're praying. Pastor Blake, I'm so thankful for him. Pastor Dan. Brother Ben Mancroni and the Palencias and Miss Kristen and so many others that are working on our music. We're working on schedules. We're working on Christ-honoring songs. We're working on, what are we trying to do? We're trying to find a balance. Not come in, fly through a service, let's get out of here. And we forgot to enjoy God. Gavin, I want you to walk in this door. And I want you to enjoy the Jesus that I enjoy. I want you to love him like I love him. Matt, I want you and Susan to walk in, and it's not a schedule, and it's not hurry up and get to the piano, and hurry up and get to your Sunday school class, and hurry, grab your coffee, shake two hands, get out of here. No, we can do that, but I'm telling you, we'll get an imbalance here at Cross Point, and we've missed while we're here. We've missed enjoying God. We missed his love. We get so to a time schedule. It's 11:54. Hurry, pastor. If we do invitation right now, we'll be out of here by 12:02 if we start right now. And so, and all of a sudden, we miss the grace. Oh, we might grow in some things and we might make some things applicable, but we've stopped enjoying who God is. We treat reading our Bibles as this chore. Fine, get on my Bible app and get it done. Put in 2x speed, get through it, check it off. And we forget at times that this Bible, the word that you and I hold in our hands, this is alive, friend. It's real. This book talks about how you and I got here. Creation. Well, it's just, I don't know, I'm getting the Bible and it's so boring. Then you're not reading the same Bible that I'm reading. This Bible has the sun standing still so that one army could defeat the other. It talks about storms just ceasing because Christ said to cease. It has miraculous battles and incredible relationships and seas dividing and people walking across dry land. It talks about the whole earth being flooded. It talks about the Son of God raising from the dead. Look, friend, this talks about floating axe heads and walls falling down and men literally being swallowed by a whale for 3 days and nights and then being spit up and being able to talk about it. Look, this has 300 men beating thousands in a battle. This book is anything but boring, friend. Look, you can watch Shrek all you want to and enjoy it, but you know, the Bible talks about a talking donkey that really happened. We're not careful, we're going to lose our balance. I don't know about you, friend, but as long as God's given me lungs to preach, we're going to stay focused on one thing, and that is to grow in the grace and the knowledge and to have that balance and to grow in his attributes and to grow in who he is and the knowledge of theology and the knowledge of how you and I are to conduct ourselves on this earth. But let me tell you something, friend. We got to have a balance and we've got to draw close to our God. Why? Because we can talk about enjoying music or enjoying woodworking or enjoying hunting or fishing or shopping or Miss Wilma, I forgot what you said, like checking out, you know, people who've gone in the past, and we can enjoy all that. But hold on for just a moment. Do we enjoy God? Do you enjoy who he is in your life? Say, Pastor, I don't know. I don't know. Then, friend, something has become imbalanced. And we haven't held fast to the joy and the love and the peace that he's given us. And all of a sudden, that scale began to tip. Friend, be careful because your stool might be just about to fall all the way over. And you and I did not even realize it. Take the more earnest heed this morning, college student. Take the more earnest heed this morning, visitor. Take the more earnest heed, those of you who have been in this battle for 50, 60 years. Why? Because a false balance makes our Savior sick. But a just weight is his delight.